Welcome to MPC's podcast, where we share our Sunday sermons with you, exploring how God's word is applicable to our everyday life.
Now, there was a story of an evangelist by the name of D.L. Moody, and it is said that every day D.L. Moody prayed for 100 people every day. Throughout his life, 96 of those people came to faith, came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what about the other four, I hear you say? God didn't answer the prayer. Well, you know what happened? At his funeral, the other four people came to faith. And so what amazes me about that is that persistent prayer bridges those gaps in our lives, those relationship gaps. Obviously, for the people who was praying for, there was a gap in their relationship to the Lord, and praying for them faithfully over the years brought about a change in the life that his own efforts could never really have accomplished. Now, as you know, we're doing a study in the first chapter of Romans, chapter 1, called Exclusive Inclusivity. And we're looking at the fact that God has called us to live a life that is exclusive for the gospel of Christ, but also inclusive in that it embraces many other people. We've seen the importance of making Jesus the Lord of our life. We've looked at the importance of being a messenger of change, of understanding that God accepts all people. But also what I want to say, that to live this life of exclusive inclusivity, we need to understand the power of prayer. See, prayer can help bridge the gaps in our relationships. It can help bridge the gaps in our relationships. So let's read from a few verses here from verses 8 onwards in Romans chapter 1. And this is what Paul says. He says this: first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, in whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness of how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. How constantly I remember you in prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. You see, in Paul's life, there was a relational gap. There was a relational gap. He was separated geographically from his spiritual family who were in Rome at that time, and he wanted to connect with them. And I believe the same holds true for all of us here. We were not meant to live our lives as islands. You know that? We were not meant to live our lives disconnected, but to be connected. That's why we have life groups. Life groups are a great way for us to connect with each other during the week. Obviously, 2 weeks, we're having a bit of a break because of the school holidays. But if you're not part of the life group, come and see me. Get connected in the life group, because it's a good way of connecting with people. But similar to Paul's predicament, we can also have a distance in our relationships with the people around us. Paul had a geographical gap. It is believed at the time when Paul wrote the letter to the Romans, he was in a place called Corinth. Corinth was about 500 miles away from Rome. It was a big distance. Now, of course, in those days, you know, distance was a big issue, wasn't it? Traveling about, it's not so much of an issue for us today. We can get in the car, get in a flight. But I want to say to you that although geographic distances may not be such an issue today, there are other distances that can creep in our relationships, aren't there, with other people. You know, you could have a couple who are living under the same roof in their house, and yet there could be an emotional or a spiritual distance between them that is as big as if they were living at the other end of the world. You can have a generational gap. You can have a parent just doesn't know how to relate with their child, so doesn't know how to engage with their child, and the child doesn't feel as if the parent understands. And there's a generational gap. Sometimes there is distances that come because of a broken friendship. You know, something was said or done that broke trust, or it could be a distance with God even. Can't it? There could be a spiritual distance. Or someone who we did know, who was walking with the Lord, has now walked away from God, and now that friendship is not the same as it used to be. There are distances culturally between different people of different groups, different ethnic and socioeconomic groups. There are distances, aren't they, that they can grow in our relationships. And the interesting thing I find is that in spite of it, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all these things that people do to try and have a social life, the reality is that I believe that there's more people who are lonely today than there ever have been. And so we are living, as I said before, in a fragmented world where there is a distance in our relationships. God does not want us to have a distance. He doesn't want there to be a gap in those relationships. But the reality is that we are all limited to what extent we can actually bridge those relational gaps in our lives. And in a similar way, Paul even said this in Romans 12. He said this, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." What I love about this statement is this, that Paul realized that there are limits in our capacity to bridge the gaps with people. Now, I want you to imagine for a minute, okay? Imagine that your life is like a piece of Lego, all right? Okay, imagine your life is, and as you know, that each piece of Lego has various connection points. And the reality is that we all have different capacities to relate to people, right? Some people have more connection points than others, okay? Some people can seem to be friends with everyone and get on with everyone. Some people could only maybe have a few friends. And the reality is that we only have a limited capacity in the number of friendships and companions and relationships we can have with people. Eventually, all our connection points get filled up. It might be that there was a broken relationship or a lost relationship, and you're trying to do everything you can to reconcile that friendship, but no matter how hard you try, it doesn't seem to be getting anywhere, okay? Or it just might be that all your capacity for friendships is completely filled up, and you don't feel as if you can relate or bridge the gaps with new people. And that's why I like Paul's words when he says this, as far as it is the possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Paul recognized that there is a limit, isn't there, to what we can do to try and get on with people, reconcile relationships, or make new friends. But the truth is this, I want to encourage you that if you have done all you can to try and bridge those relational gaps with different people in your life, I want to say to you, there is one more thing you can do. And that is pray. You can pray. Nothing is beyond the reach of your prayers. Because when you pray, you are accessing God's ability to work through your own inability. That's what you're doing. If as a spouse, you don't know how to connect with your husband or wife, if as a parent, you don't know how to connect with your child or a church member, you don't know how to relate with that another member, or if as a friend, you don't know how to reconcile that friendship, there's one thing you still can do, and that is pray. You can still pray. And that's exactly what Paul did. He prayed that he would be reunited with his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in Rome. You see, between the hope of a restored friendship or a new friendship or knowing the intimacy of a spouse or living in peace with someone, between that hope and it actually being fulfilled, there is a gap. And that gap is called prayer. It's called prayer. So let me encourage you. You know, sometimes we try in our own efforts to build bridges, and sometimes our efforts fail. Sometimes our efforts actually seem to make it worse, don't they? Actually, to make it better. But let me encourage you that before you try to do things in your own efforts, first reach out in prayer. Reach out in prayer, because nothing is beyond the reach of your prayers. Isn't that amazing? Nothing's beyond the reach of your prayers. So how can we pray? Well, I believe there's some wonderful gems and truths that we can get from Paul's opening words in Book of Romans. First thing is this, pray gratefully. Pray gratefully. When you pray for someone that you hope to connect with or live in peace with, thank God for the good that you see in their lives. Thank God. Now, there may have been some things that you can't thank God for. They may have said certain things. They may have done some things. May have hurt you deeply. And obviously, those things you can't thank the Lord for. But you know what? There is something good that you can thank God for. See, Paul reveals as his first priority when he's praying for these believers in Rome, he says this. He says, first, notice that, first, first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you. I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you. He understood that putting gratitude in it is the most important thing when he is coming before God and praying for people. You know, a number of years ago, some research was carried out amongst white-collar workers in an office environment, okay, about 300 workers in this office environment. And what the researchers were wanting to do, they wanted to find it. What's the relationship between people's sense of gratitude in life and their sense of social responsibility and the awareness of the needs that are around them? And surprise, surprise, they found, okay, that those employees who are always grateful, always had a sense of hope, they were always much more aware of people's needs in the office. And they're almost much more willing to step out of the way to help and to create a more fairer, equitable environment in the workplace. I find that interesting. You know, I also find it interesting that given that prayer bridges the gaps in our relationships, when we pray and we have a sense of gratitude to others, to God about other people, it's not only good for your health, because did you know that gratitude is good for your health? There's research that shows it's actually good for your health. It's not only good for your health, but also it changes your perspective and how you're going to relate to those people and to your wider community. See, it's often said that the way you see the problem is the problem. Your perspective is what affects your approach on a given issue. If you're out of relationship with someone because you don't like them, okay, or you just don't seem to get on with them, or for whatever, and hey, we're all human beings, aren't we, okay? We're not ever going to get on with each other 100% all the time. But can I say to you, start by thanking God for the good you see in that person. Start by thanking God for the good that you see in that person. Think about this for a moment. If Jesus said this, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Well, if Jesus is telling us to pray for those who persecute us and love our enemies, we could at least think of something good, can't we? To thank God for in the lives of people that we see around us. I believe that will change the way that you interact with that person. To a greater or lesser extent, it will have an effect. So take a moment to think of the good qualities that you miss in that person. Is it the generosity? Is it the kindness, the thoughtfulness, their ability, they're organized? Thank God for that. Thank God for those good things that you see in those people in your life. Second thing I believe that we can take hold of Paul's words is this. Number two, pray inclusively. Notice that Paul makes known his prayers for all the Roman believers. When he adds, first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Now, it is true that birds of a feather, get that one right, birds of a feather flock together. And that our natural tendency, isn't it, for us to relate to people who are similar to us or like us. But it is also good, I believe, to have friendships with people who are very different from us. And I think that's healthy. You see, when you get to heaven, you're going to find that there's going to be people from every tribe, every language, every tongue, every nation under heaven are going to be there in heaven. Okay? Right? I'm just warning you about that right now. Okay? Everyone is going to be there in heaven. Okay? In heaven, you're not going to be asking someone, are you from India? Are you from Pakistan? Are you from China? Are you from Ghana? That's going to be irrelevant because everyone's going to be there. from every nation, tongue, and language. It's not going to matter whether you're Church of England, whether you're Methodist, whether you're Pentecostal, whether you're Presbyterian. We may even be surprised to see some people in heaven there ourselves. I think, I didn't think they would be in heaven. Well, they might well be there. And so, you know, there's going to be all sorts of people there. And the amazing thing is this, that given that prayer bridges the relational gaps in our lives, it's good to pray for a wide range of people, not just for those we are familiar with. Of course we pray for our family. Of course we do that. It's always good to start praying for that, for family members, for friends, acquaintances. But also pray for work colleagues. Pray for those in positions of influence. Pray for church leaders. Pray for missionaries. Pray for our parliament. Please, no, we will not go there. Pray for our parliament. Pray for our prime minister. Whether you think of him, pray for these people. But dare I say it, even pray for your enemies. Even pray for those who hold animosity towards you. You know, in his letter to his brother, C.S. Lewis mentioned that every night he prayed for people he was most tempted to hate. Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, heading the list. And then in another letter, he said, when I prayed for these people and I meditated upon myself, I realized how cruel I also could have been if Christ didn't get hold of my life. And he says, I remember that Christ died for those men as much as he died for me. You know, it was a German pastor and theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said this, that God loves his enemies. That is the glory of his love. You know, those people who are opposed to you, you know, you need to pray for them. Because probably there's no one else praying for them. You may be the only person who actually prays for them. And I want to encourage you that we defeat our enemies not by hating them, but by loving them. And prayer activates that love. You know, if you're nursing a grudge against someone and you don't feel that you can forgive that person, let me encourage you to present that grudge to God. Give it before God and allow God to heal that wound in you and allow him to give you the strength that you cannot supply in your own to forgive that person. It might be that maybe you've done things in the past that have hurt others and someone is holding that against you. Ask, oh God, Lord, just give them the grace to forgive me even as well. You see, like the ripples of water that spread out when you throw the stone on the wave, on the pond, I should say, let me encourage you to pray for all people, for those who are closest to you, for those who are distant from you. Paul put it like this in his words to Timothy. He said this, I urge you, first of all, that prayers, petitions, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. You know what intercession means? It's standing in the gap. You're praying on behalf of someone who can't pray for themselves. That's what it means to be an intercessor. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said this, Christ stands between us, and we can only get in touch with our neighbors through him. I love that thought. That distance that you have in that relationship, do you know what? Christ bridges that distance. And through your prayers, you can reach out to that person. As a pastor of a church, I pray for everyone in this church regularly. And so let's ensure that we pray gratefully, pray inclusively, but also pray specifically. Notice that Paul gives thanks to God for their faith of these believers. He says this, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith has been reported all over the world. In Paul's mind, it was the faith of these believers that was cause for celebration. It was cause to give thanks to God for. The faith of these Roman believers was been heard all across the world. And if there's anything that we can celebrate in each other, it's our faith, isn't it? that we're staying true to the Lord. But I want to say to you that maybe that's something that we should pray for in others, that God would encourage each other's faith. Yes, it's important that when you pray, that you pray specifically. It could be a niece's pregnancy. It could be a cousin's alcohol problem. It could be a parent's prodigal daughter. When you're bringing your requests, be specific about their needs. Say it, bring it before God. And you know what? It's true that God does know. God does know the needs. He already knows that. But what you are doing is that you are involving God in that person's life. You're involving God in that process. Now, I don't think that prayer is like a mathematical formula, okay? You know, sometimes we think that prayer is like, you know, I'll pray for this person for this amount of length of time and get these many people to pray. It's like a mathematical formula. It'll work every time, okay? It doesn't always work like that. Prayer is much more mysterious. There's a mystery in prayer. You know, sometimes, yeah, there's a place for corporate prayer and persistent prayer, absolutely. But I've known of people who only just came to faith and they just prayed one prayer and the prayer was answered there and then. But there is a mystery in prayer. And the truth is this, that when you're praying for people, when you're bringing their needs before the Lord, it's not only just, God isn't just working on their life, He's also working on your life as well. He's changing you. You are inviting God to open your eyes to see things the way that God sees it. You're inviting yourself to be in a stream of His holy love for that particular purpose, for that particular person, because prayer bridges the gaps in our relationships. And so as well as praying for a person's health and well-being, make sure you also pray for their faith. You know, when Paul was on trial for his testimony, for his witness, he was standing before King Festus and King Agrippa. And Festus says to Paul, "Paul, you're out of your mind. Your learning's driving you insane." And King Agrippa was quite open to what Paul was saying in terms of his the message that he was bringing. And in response to these guys, Paul says to both of them, to King Agrippa, he says this, "Short time or long time, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." He longed for the day that these people would share the faith that he had. Last night, we saw a unanimous response, didn't we? Amongst all those young people, they all stood up in a faith response to Jesus. That's encouraging. Come on, that deserves a round of applause, hey? Absolutely. That deserves a round of applause. Do you know what? That comes from years of prayer. People praying faithfully into that. And I want to say to you, let's encourage, let's pray for people around us, and let's pray specifically for the needs around us, but especially that their faith may be strengthened, and if they haven't yet come to faith, that they will come to faith. And so we pray gratefully, inclusively, specifically, but we also pray continually. Paul demonstrates a depth of concern when he says this, that God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of the Son, is my witness of how constantly I remember you, my prayers, at all times. Isn't that amazing? Now, Paul did know some of the people in Rome, okay? If you read the last chapter of Romans, he lists the names of people who he had a relationship with, but clearly there were also people there that he didn't know. But the duration of his prayers, the constant nature of his prayers, the depth of his prayers revealed something of a love that he had in his heart for these people. Now, you're going to pray for people constantly, aren't you, that you love, won't you? That's the truth, isn't it? This isn't the first time that Paul reveals the constant nature of his prayers. When writing to the Thessalonian believers, he says that we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling. Again, when he was writing his letter to Timothy, he said the similar thing. I thank God whom I served as my ancestors did with a clear conscience as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Prayer wasn't just something that Paul did one off, you know, maybe the first thing in the morning or whatever. Prayer was something that Paul did constantly, night and day. At all times, he was always praying. And it's my view that constant prayer compounds the interest of our relationships. It brings about a result. It brings about an effect. And that's something, let me encourage you, as people come to mind during the day, pray for them. Just get your focus off yourself and what you're doing at that moment in time and see past that and think of others and lift others up in your prayers because it bridges the gap in our relationships. And as you do this, rely on God's timetable. Rely on His ability to fulfill those relational gaps in the right way. Because not only are you giving God space to work in that person's life, but also God space to work in your life. So actually, He makes you into a better person, a better spouse, friend, or church member. So whether you're out for a walk, washing the dishes, whether you are doing your errands, doing your shopping, emptying the bin, you could be in a constant state of prayer. Constant prayer is about developing a God orientation towards the Lord. And so I want to encourage you to continually give your attention to Him. Engage the Lord always in dialogue. You know, you can talk to God about anything. Just the ordinary issues of life, doing life, day-to-day life, you can always constantly be bringing your issues to God and your concerns to God and the people that are in your heart before God because God wants to be part of our whole lives, isn't He? And all of our lives. So given that prayer bridges these gaps, let's make sure that we pray gratefully, inclusively, specifically, and constantly. And yet, as much as we see in the importance that prayer bridges the relational gaps in our lives, there is another relationship that is more important than any other relationship in our lives. The greatest relational gap in our lives isn't between each other, but it's between us and God. That's the biggest gap. The Bible says that our sins have separated us from God because of our guilt, the Bible says that we are made enemies of God. And you know, many people live their lives feeling as if there's this distance between them and God. There's this big gap. And you know, sometimes like we try to do things to repair, make bridges between each other, and it doesn't always work. The gap between us and God is so big that no matter what we try to do, it will never bridge the gap for us to get back into a right relationship with God. And so God did something for us that we could never have done for ourselves. He gave us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at the life of Jesus, we see that He prayed for those around Him. He prayed for Peter. When He knew that Peter would deny Him, He prayed for His disciples. When He knew that they would disappear and scatter in His hour of greatest need, He even prayed for His enemies when they were putting Him on the cross and about to kill Him. Isn't that incredible? The words of Jesus were this, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. But you know what? This prayer wasn't just for His murderers. His prayer is for every one of us. Because our sin, our guilt, separates us from our relationship with God. It was that same sin and that guilt that put Jesus on the cross. And it is this sin that He forgives in each of our lives. And so that means that the only way that we can access this relationship with God is through faith in what Jesus has done for us. Paul said in that verse in Romans, he said this, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Today, if you desire to bridge the relational gap in other people's lives, let me encourage you to pray thankfully, pray inclusively, pray specifically, pray constantly. But let me also encourage you that if you haven't already done this yet, make sure you get your most important relationship right first. And that is with the Lord Jesus Christ and with your Heavenly Father. Turn from everything you know is wrong. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit if you haven't already done so. And that will get you on that journey of growing in your relationship with the Lord. And you'll be a better position to pray for those people around you where there's a relational gap.
Thank you for listening to MPC's podcast. If you enjoyed this one, then please do subscribe. You can find out more about our church on the website mpconline.org and at our Facebook page, Mansfield Pentecostal Church.